Well, that was one that you know, kind of no one deserved to lose. You know, as a competitor, I just have a lot of respect for Coach Reed and his program. We've had some epic battles. You knew they weren't going to quit. I told our staff, I thought we'd be better off having like a 6-point lead at the half, because it just becomes really mental when you're leading like that, when you're just leading like that and a little inexperienced, and you know, the mental part of the game kind of changes, because then they're coming after you and you're trying to like hold on, you know. And we've given up some leads. So I wasn't surprised that they got back in the game. I wasn't. They're a good team. And then we just had, you know, we had our chances, right? We had our chances to win it. We couldn't seal it. You know, and then, you know, we've played 3 games against these guys. The first 2, we win by 3. And this one goes into overtime. You know, we had a chance to end it and couldn't do it. But the kid Gillis was outstanding. Oh my goodness, man. He was fantastic. Whitney Sidney, he's played really well, but Gillis is the guy that he was outstanding. It was just a great guy. You know, our team, just really proud of the fight. You know, we were down and we just kept coming back, and then we had a chance to win it and couldn't do it. And we kept battling. You know, what can you say about Miles's leadership this year? You know, we're not even close to being the program that we are without him. And then Morales, oh my goodness. You know, what he's done, you know, being out that long, and coming in and then just doing whatever we asked him to do. He plays 3 positions. You know, and I said this before the game, you know, he's an all-league player. He just didn't get a chance to play enough to, you know, to earn a spot. But, I mean, obviously you saw tonight how how talented that kid is. He did that in high school when we were recruiting him. He's a talented kid. So, you know, we're kind of led by our seniors, and, it was just a hard way to lose, a playoff game. It's never going to leave you. Like, you know, you can sit here and – you're always going to look back on your career, and the guys will look back and feel like we let one get away. But I it's basketball. They made a few more plays than we did. You know, you tip your hat.
Yeah, Coach. I'm just wondering if you had any, you know, personal message for Miles. Obviously, he's been so important.
Yeah. Listen. Yeah, I would say this. You know, I've been a head coach, and I told the team this, and I hadn't really said this to him because I wanted to wait, but. Out of all the teams I've had, this is by far one of my favorites, and probably the most coachable group I've ever coached. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the team that won in 2020, we had a couple of challenging personalities, great kids, and you know, kids I'm still really close with. But it was a different element at times. This team, not one parent, not one kid. I didn't have one kid make a face after a game. I never had a kid come into my office complaining about playing. Not one time. Not one time did a kid not play or not play as many minutes or not get shots he wanted. And then you saw the attitude in practice. Not one time. Not one time. So all our focus was able to go into just trying to get better. And then you start feeling that way, right? As a player, you start feeling, man, this is pretty cool. Like, everybody's on the same page. We're just working. We're working. We're working. And then the talent took over. And then, you know, the continuity took over in what we're doing. I think the coach did a great job of sending the same message. Even when we're losing, we were still talking about the same things. And we are a lot better right now than we were even a month ago. You know, we're a team that if you can get past this game, you'd have a chance. You know, you'd have a chance to play for the whole thing. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work your way. But, you know, without Miles and his leadership, this doesn't happen. Like, I've been a coach where I preach the same stuff for, you know, it's no different what I'm saying. It's just you have more people that are receptive to the message. And Miles was the guy that led that. And then Morales, the guys all know how good of a player Morales is. And then Morales is coming off your bench. He's playing 3 positions. And then he's not saying a word when he's not getting touches. And okay, that's the way we do things here. So to have that that's hard to get. You talk to any coach in the country, they'll tell you that this group, what we have, is hard to find.
Coach, talking about Anthony Morales, obviously career high today, 27 points. Shot the ball particularly well. I mean, your entire squad did from three. I did have a question in specific to the overtime. There were two three-pointers that you took early in the possession. What were kind of – are you okay?
Yeah. Look, man, listen. This is the issue, right? So you're going at halftime. You're up 18,
yeah.
Right? And you know you made some shots that you're like, oh, my God, like that's not really good offense. It's just you got talented guys that were, you know, they were ready for the moment. But you know that's not how you're going to end up winning the game. You're not just going to come down and just start shooting, hold on to the ball. And, you know, and so it's a fine line between that and playing the way we like to play and getting the same types of shots without holding on to the ball. And so you're trying to get them to find that balance and also not take away that feeling of, yo, we're about to roll these guys, mm-hmm. You know? And so I thought we had some guys get tired and we weren't really going to sub in that time in the game. And so I thought we kind of sold out instead of searching through a better shot in those possessions. But I know the two shots you're talking about, and I would say, yeah, we kind of sold out at that time.
Coach, just comment on Whitney Sidney in that final minute, 20 seconds. Floater, left-handed.
Oh, God, he's – yeah, he's tough. You know, and that was the other thing. I thought we missed – so I'll say this. Yeah, we were 11 for 21 from the foul line. I didn't even know that. That was a big deal. And they were making theirs and we weren't. And I didn't say one word to the team, but in this stretch when we've won, we've shot the ball almost like 90% from the foul line. I didn't say it to the team, but we were making everything, making all our foul shots. And tonight we're 11 for 21. And in this hard to win. We won the championship in 2020. We missed a ton of free throws. That does not happen much in these types of games. You miss free throws in these types of games, hard to win because the teams are good. Like, so it's hard to overcome that.
So just that individual effort that he gave them.
Sorry, I didn't answer your question. Yeah, he's a first-team All-League player. He's a kid from the Massachusetts, Boston area. He is as talented of a guy. When they got him, I was really upset. We didn't have a scholarship for that position, and I know his coaches, and I called both of those guys and like, what are you doing? And I was really upset with both of them for letting that kid go there. And I'm not joking. I was mad. Let him go somewhere else, not to our league. But yeah, he's as good as any guard in this league. He's got high major athleticism and quickness and skill level. He's a tough dude to guard. He's outstanding.
Yeah, Coach, the kind of overall game flow of this game was eerily similar to kind of what you guys have been through the past month with, you know, the insane first half, and then you kind of blow the lead, and then you somehow almost pull it out at the end. Do you have any explanation for why this game was different? You didn't win, or was it just kind of...
No, I mean, listen, it's basketball. We beat them twice by 3 points. Like, come on. Like, we could have lost both those games, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you play in these types of games, like, it's, you know, I mean, we make a foul shot. We do a decent job defensively here and there. You know, we pull it out. But they could be saying, you know, they could say the same thing in the two games prior. You know, two really good teams were probably evenly matched, even though we're different. You know, you saw that. We played three times, and they were all epic games. And they got us this time. It's basketball. I mean, it's the thing I was trying to explain to the team is that this is really freaking hard, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's – listen, what that dude at Colgate has done, I don't even know how he's done that. Because I am literally – I am working all the time. I am into this. I love it. And shoot, man, I've been to two championships, mm-hmm. and I've lost three times in semifinals games, and one was in double overtime, and the other two was in overtime. So I've lost three semifinal games in a very similar fashion that I lost today. That's three more times to go to championship. You know, and so this is what we're doing is really, really, really tough, and people don't talk about that as much because everybody talks about the team that wins, and that's good, that's fine. Everybody talks about the championship. And that's what this is about. You're here to win championships, and I get that. But what we're trying to do is really hard. really hard. Now, you lose eight guys from your team from last year. You lose six of your top seven players, and you're one possession away from going to the championship. I think the players and you exclude me and the staff, they deserve a ton of credit for building the team the right way, bringing the right people in, and having a chance to have success. You know, but what we're doing is, this is not easy.
Coach, on the topic.
And I'm exhausted, by the way. I'm physically and mentally exhausted. My brother lost yesterday with a chance to win the championship. They blew the game. They had a chance to win. My daughter lost in a 5-point loss to go to the Final Four, the Division III championship. And we just freaking lost. Last two weekends, the Joneses won everything. this was a rough weekend for us.
Coach, on the topic of kind of looking back into the season, I mean, I couldn't help but notice throughout the game your ability off timeouts to design plays and scheme guys open. You already touched on the work that you put in. Could you kind of look back in a personal reflection here, how you think you did as a coach and how you served the players throughout the year?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you this. I got a great staff. You know, I have Kurt's been his for forever. Al Paul came in from 2 years at Yale. He was with us for 3 years. He did an outstanding job with our defense. And Mike Quinn has done an amazing job with the offense and does a lot of the end-of-game stuff. You know, give the credit to those guys, man. I'm too old. I've had enough. You know, I know who I am. I'm not doing it for that. I think the players and the staff, excluding me, deserves all the credit. I'm good with who I am and what I do.
Yeah, kind of building off that, when I talked to you before the year, you told me that you really believe that you had the right guys.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any of them play, and it sounds like that is definitely true. What can you kind of just say about how confident you are in this specific group, especially the young guys, moving forward?
Oh, my God. There was so – because the belief was so high, guys got better. You know, they trusted what they were being told, and they just tried to do what you were asking them to do. And even when we were failing, I was like, oh, my God, anything you say they try to do, you can see them trying to do it. And so when you have that, like, you just feel good about it. And I did think we were a better, and I kept saying this, and, you know, we weren't making any shots for, you know, for half the season. And I kept going, I don't think we're that bad of a shooting team. Mm-hmm. And I know some people are like, well, I don't know if that's true or not. You know, you're shooting like 20%. We're the worst offensive team in the league. We were averaging like 59 points a game for a long time. And I kept going, man, I just think we're better. And so we changed our mindset of how we were trying to approach the game offensively, and I thought that settled us down, and we started to get some different shots, and I thought that kind of built into us playing better. But I would say this, like, I did think we had the ingredients of a team that could have success, and I was hoping it would happen this season, but I didn't, you know, you never know. But I thought that, all right, in the future we're going to be all right, we got the right guys.
Coach, can you just kind of speak to Kyron specifically? And
yeah.
Just kind of played great today and just, I guess.
Man, that guy, he's been, you know, he's been as good as advertised. He's tough. He's coachable. You know, a lot of freshmen, they come in, they can't defend. He can defend. Like, he's just a really good all-around player. You know, we're lucky. Like, I told Matai that in walkthrough today. I go, listen, dude, you got three guys in your class that are awesome people. You know how hard that is to have that, where you got four freshmen that they're all freaking awesome people. They're like great. They're great to coach. They're competitor. They're great students. They're like, and I'm not patting myself on the back. It's sometimes you get a little lucky too. These guys are. So Kai's in with a great group of guys, and he's a talented all around player. He gives you. When I was recruiting him, the thing I loved about what he said to me, I'm a two-way guy. Not too many people say that. Like, you ask him, all right, what's the best part of your game? And they're, hey, my jump shot. He's like, my best part of my game is I play on both ends. I was like, wow. And he does. He does.
Coach, you've talked about recently how you wanted to be on Morales more on the defensive end. He mentioned that too. He had three big blocks, especially when they were, you know, cutting down that lead. What can you say about his effort?
Listen, that guy, you know, it wasn't easy for him, you know. He had a lot of growing up to do. when he got here. I saw that when I went to watch him. His talent was just outrageous. Like, I was like, oh my God, this guy, we have to try to get him. His talent is, but he needed to learn how to compete. But he did what he did tonight. He was doing that in high school. Like, I was like, oh goodness. But you knew he had to learn how to compete. And play both ends of the floor. He really struggled defensively. And so he came here, COVID year. And then the next year, all those guys stayed. So now we get Javante and Suk stay for another year. That cuts down on time he's in there. So he didn't play a lot. You know, he played a role. You know, now he's looking at himself and he's like, well, I'm more talented than this guy and that guy. And they're all playing over me. But they were just, those guys had been here. They had won a championship. And they also were competing more consistently than he was. So that was always a hard thing to kind of get him to understand. Then once then he put his name in a portal, then he came back, and I was going to take him back because I wanted to see him get his degree from BU. You don't want to see him get his degree from some of the schools that were recruiting him. So I was like working hard to help him understand, and most of it was just not because I thought he was a talented player, because he's a kid from Roslindale that deserves a chance to get a degree from a school like BU and not get a degree from a place that won't be as impactful. So we fought hard to, I had more meetings with this guy and all his people. I mean, it was, and so we got him to stay. And then the big thing was trying to get him to understand, like, yo, I'm going to hold you accountable. Like, so if you're not getting it done, you're just going to play less and come out. And he didn't start, and he was literally one of our more talented guys, but he committed to being a great teammate. And then things like this happen for guys like that, that are talented, when you start to focus on the team and doing the things for the team. And to me, that's the thing that I would, listen, I am so grateful to have gone through that time with him, because I hope that it's helped him understand, you know, when he wants to go get something, not to make excuses, and he's got the ability to get it done.
Yeah, Coach, I talked to Ethan after he hit the buzzer beater against Leah the first time, mm-hmm. and he kind of just walking through the evolution of you and his relationships this year. Can you just talk to me about the progress he's made and then you two together?
It's hard. Listen, it's hard. He, you know, we try not to stay in the portal too much. I thought this team needed, losing so many older guys, I thought this team needed some experience. And so we looked in the portal. We worked hard at it. Our administration did a wonderful job of trying to help us with that. That was a lot of work to go through all the transcripts and who can get in and who's a good enough student to make it. And so we ended up looking at some Division II guys that we felt like were really Division I guys. And we thought Ethan physically and skill-wise was a guy that could help us. And so we ended up winning a recruiting battle with him. But when you leave a place and you were kind of the number one option, or you have the ball in your hands all the time and you're the guy, and now you're coming here and you got Miles and you got all the other guys you have, and you have to learn a new system, it takes time and it's really hard. And so I think what I started doing at times with him was looking at him like he was an upperclassman and coaching him that way. And it wasn't really fair to him. I was really, really, it's really hard on him, really demanding of him. And then I had to learn him a little bit about what makes him better, you know, and I had to kind of get out of my own way and start thinking about it more of, okay, how can I help him? Instead of being frustrated with what he's not doing, he's only been with you for a few months, he's trying, he just doesn't understand, hasn't had enough reps. What can you do to help him? And so I tried to meet him halfway more and try to let him know that I thought he was a really good player and that I had to kind of back off a little bit with how I was approaching him, and I'd approach him in a different way. It wasn't really helping him. Miles is different. Like, you can say whatever you want to Miles, that guy, he's half listening to what you're saying anyway. But Ethan was taking everything in and it wasn't really helping him. And so, you know, we had a nice lunch and had a heart-to-heart. It was awesome, and I thought we got closer because we were telling each other the truth.
Just a follow-up. I think that was was at Sweeping Rights, Ethan told me.
What's that?
The launch that's
Yeah,
the American game, I believe.
Yep.
Is there anything at that specific moment that prompted you to kind of text him and pick him up? And
I think that was more like holding myself accountable, like thinking about why I coach. You know, I think like I coach to try to help guys develop as people. I want to help them understand themselves better, so when they graduate, they have a better understanding of who they are and what they're going to do in life. And while you're doing that, you're trying to win. And sometimes the winning can impact a little more, and you start getting frustrated, and you kind of lose sight of, like, all right, what am I really doing this? Am I doing this to yell at a kid, or am I doing this to really try to help a kid? And I didn't really think my approach was really helping him. And I think you have to, as a coach these days, your job is to try to figure out ways to help them, and they're all a little different. You know, what I say to Kai is going to be a little different than what I say to Ethan, because they're different people, you know, and that, you know, that was on me, not on him. I thought he was really trying. And I just think, like, I had to have a moment where I had to really come to grips with this is not really working, what I'm doing, and I got to change it.
Coach, to kind of pick out another player on the roster as we kind of go down the line and talking about the Michael McNair.
Oh.
I want to talk about, I know how much you've praised him over the last couple of interviews. You know, he came in here today, played 15 minutes at the highest plus minus, 7 points. Could you just talk to me about his growth and his development and kind of where you're looking for him to pick
up? Man, how much fun was watching that guy play today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He loves Lehigh.
Last
game was the Michael McNair legacy
game. So, you know, so here's another example, right? So you bring guys in, you know, you bring in 4 pretty talented freshmen. You got some transfers. You got some older guys. How many guys are you going to play, right? So we start the year, we're playing 12 guys. I mean, driving me crazy. I'm playing 12 guys, 13 sometimes in the game, just trying to figure out, like, who can play with who. And we're playing way too many guys, but we're trying to give everybody a chance to play. And that's hard. That's hard on the players. It's hard on us, the continuity. And so you got to try to trim it down a little bit. And here's a guy that kind of gets caught up, you know, and not kind of getting in the rotation. But he's come to practice, and this guy attitude was. So we had a game. It might have been the Holy Cross game. And he only played 4 minutes in the game. And he practiced really well, played pretty good, and only played 4 minutes. And his parents came to the game. The next day I see that dude on campus and his eyes light up and he gives me this huge smile. I was like, oh my God. I'm like the luckiest freaking guy. Seriously, like, who does that? Right? Like, I've had guys, when that has happened, they're like looking the other way. I gotta go grab them. This guy, I was like, oh my God, this guy is unreal. And his attitude and his energy. And I told him on the bench. So he comes out the first time, and I go over to him and I go, bro, I knew that was going to happen for you at some point because your attitude was so good. You were playing great. You just, and oh my God, I was so happy for him. So happy. I mean, and then the other thing I was trying to tell the team is, like, I've had guys do this. So I've had guys play roles early on and then they become really good players. Mike McNair is on his way. But I will say this, Mike McNair will end up being a really good player here at some point. There's no doubt about it. And that's most of the guys that has happened for here. Most of the guys have had to go through what he's gone through. They haven't been Kai Alexander or Javonte or Walt that have been, you know, been able to play a ton right away. Most of them get really good in their junior, senior years. And nobody ever wants to talk about that. They just talk about the guys that start and play a ton early on. They don't talk about the grind and how hard it is to become an all-league player. It's hard to do. Look at Miles Brewster. Look at his career. Look at what that guy looked like as a freshman and what he looks like right now. It's night and day. That's a good program.
I guess I can wrap it up. I'm sorry to keep bombarding you with questions. I want to keep
No, this is it. This is the last interview I got to do, so I'm giving you guys everything.
But, I mean, it's been an up and down year, to say the least, for your squad. You've seen all the highs, you've seen all the lows. Obviously, an inexperienced squad, and it's a tough way to end the season for sure. Is it fair to say that you know, the guys maybe needed a kind of a stingy feeling to perhaps leave this season with, just so they can be focused on getting that much better and coming back and wanting it more next year?
Oh my God.
I was alone, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just struggling with answering that question, because I think you put everything into this and you're never thinking about that. Like, you're never thinking about, oh, you know, if we lose, it'll be okay because next year we'll have, like, yeah. That's hard to do. I don't know what's going to happen next year. Like, I have no idea, you know, injuries and things happen in basketball, and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and when you're a kid, sometimes you're like, oh, we'll be back, and you don't know. And everything, you just put in everything into trying to become the best team that you can become. So I can't even answer that question right now, because I don't even think that way at all. Like, I just don't. So I don't even know how to help you with that one. But now that it's happened, can you use it for motivation? Absolutely. But definitely did not give that any thought. I was just trying to beat Brett Reed's butt and play and go see Matt on Wednesday. Yeah. That's what I was trying to do. You guys good?
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys. You guys had a great year, man.
Appreciate it all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, fellas.